You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Cindy Stewart Podcast, a source for encouragement as you learn to discover God's dream for your life. With a passion to help you on your journey, here is your host, Cindy Stewart.
So this morning we're going to talk about kingdom legacy. Last week we talked about inheritance, and this morning we're going to talk about legacy. And you can go back and listen to last week's. It's on our website. It's on something else. YouTube. Yes. Thank you, Michelle. I'm glad somebody knows where it is. But we're going to talk about legacy this morning and kingdom legacy. But first, I want to read a word to you that Pastor Gene gave yesterday when we had our worship. He happened to record it and send it to me, which I was so glad, because I believe that this is where God has us right now. And let me just read the word to you. It says, prepare for the new wine and prepare to become a new wineskin. This will require you to be stretched. This will require you to be uncomfortable. Who wants to be stretched and uncomfortable? I know you guys are jumping up and down on that, right? But there's something about being uncomfortable that brings the comforter in to help us move. This will require you to have a hope and expectation that I am doing something new. And I am bringing something new and life-giving. And I am taking you away you have not been before. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I am not asking you to forget what you know. I'm asking you to be ready to add to and build upon. Amen. For I am a building God. I am a God who brings progression. I am the God who makes all things new. So prepare for the new wine, prepare for the new thing, prepare for the new direction. That is a good word, right? And I believe that is where God has us right now. He is making us containers for the new wine he's pouring out. He's making us containers for that. And we are going to be stretched. We are stretched. Listen to the testimonies this morning. We are stretched. We're Walmart stretched, right? And we're uncomfortable with where he's stretching us. However, there's a peace that comes with that stretching, because we know that the stretching's being done by the Lord, not in our own will, not in our own flesh. It is God who is stretching us, and we can feel the power of the Spirit going with the stretch. So I thought that was such a good word. And I believe that that's what God is doing. He is building. We're in a building season. And I'm not big on going to the past, but I really felt like this morning, just to remind us that, you know, from 2019 to 2020 became a season of destruction against the people of God, against people in general. It was a destruction time where they tried to kill, steal, and destroy us. The enemy tried to kill, steal, and destroy us. He tried to isolate us. He tried to contain us, where we couldn't be together, where we couldn't worship, where we couldn't pray, where we couldn't be with our families. He divided families. He divided churches. He divided communities. The enemy was on a pattern of destruction. But God, but God is on the pattern of creation and building and restoring and renewing. And that's what we're in. We're like, what the enemy tried to do, God is going to restore everything that was stolen. God is going to restore. And that word, that what part of that word that said, I'm not asking you to forget what you know. What I'm asking you to do is build, is to, I lost my page here. Not forget what you know, but yes, to add and build upon with the building God who's building right now. So as we think about building, you know, it's sometimes it's hard when we go through loss to heal from that loss. There is a healing that had to happen and that is still occurring through the loss that we went through over the last few years. But God is saying, I've pressed the gas. You know, I don't have a 440. I have the maximum jet engine that you can have. I'm on an accelerated pattern to move you forward in the building process. And there's a couple of scriptures I want to read. When I'm talking about leaving a legacy. It says, when we leave a legacy for the kingdom, we're not only making an impact on the now, we're building from the past, but we're also making an impact for the future generations by leaving them wisdom, wealth, influence, and a kingdom perspective for what is to come. We watched something the other day. We were invited to be part of a conversation. I've been working on this legacy thought process for quite a while, and we were being invited to watch a conversation with Bethel and Chris Valentin and all that. And they were talking about they have a 100-year thought plan. Wow. How many of you have a 100-year thought plan? How many of you have next week's thought plan? Oh, Carol does. Okay, we're good. Somebody's got it. But you know, when you think about, we don't always think 100 years in advance. We're thinking about, you know, maybe next week, maybe next year. Some of us have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, but think about what you're leaving now, what you're doing now, and its effect on the generation 100 years from now. Amen. Your children's 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 children. Amen. And the legacy that you leave can impact generations to come, of course, for the bad, which we're saying no to that, but for the kingdom, which God has already put us on the track, on the trajectory of impacting the kingdom for the generations to come. So I'm not thinking about my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I'm thinking about my great-grandchildren's children. What I do now, I want them to have a momentum built from my feet, from my my influence, from my relationship with the Lord that they can thrive off of as they step into their destiny with God. So we want to leave an impact, a legacy for those who are to come. I want to read a scripture, Mark 4, 30 through 34. We're actually going to go a little bit through Ezra, but we're going to start with this Mark 30 through 34. It says, and Jesus is talking about the parables. It says, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all other seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. I want to be a mustard seed for the future generation, that as we're planted, you know, Mark earlier in the chapter, it says that when it's sowed on good soil, then it will produce a 30, 60, 100 fold. I am good soil. I want us to remember we are good soil so that when things are sown in us, we will produce 30, 60, 100 fold for the kingdom to grow. Amen. We are kingdom growers. Yes. We are not just people skipping through and hope we make it to next week. We are people that are creating a momentum behind the breath of God in order to change the trajectory of our earth. Of the people of God. I heard somebody, I don't know who said this, but someone was saying, you know, I was talking to Debbie Cover. She says, you know, there were three arcs. Moses, Noah in his ark that saved humanity. Moses in his ark, you know, as a baby, that saved a people. And Jesus in his ark, the ark of the covenant, the very manifest presence of God that saved the whole earth, that came for the whole earth. So we're not really satisfied with anybody going to hell. I'm not satisfied with that. And if I know someone's on the way to hell, then my kingdom seed is sowing so that they will have the recognition of Jesus Christ. So they are born again because we don't want to see anyone lost. Jesus came to save the lost. That's what he came to do. And we're on the mission field with Jesus to save the lost. Yes, we want the sick to be healed. We want the possessed to be delivered. We want the dead to be raised. We want all that. We want to leave an inheritance for our children. We want all that. But what we want is we want to see salvation of Jesus Christ cover the earth. That's what we want. And we have to remember in this building phase we're in, it's not always easy. Building is hard. You can ask people who actually do building, like Mark, you know, some of the others. Building's hard. It's hard work. And sometimes it doesn't look quite like you want it to look, but you still press in. But let's go to Ezra. I want to talk through Ezra a little bit. Because I believe there's been a declaration by the King of Kings to build the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to say it again. There's been a declaration by the King of Kings to build the house of the Lord. Amen. He wants his house built. He wants it built in our house. He wants it built as we gather. He wants it built on the streets. He wants his house to be seen like the city on the hill. And like they were testifying to, where's Ezra? They were testifying to this morning, you know, going to Walmart, people were hungry to be prayed for. They're hungry to encounter the Lord. We had 200 baptisms in the water. We've got, you know, revivals. We call them revivals, but I don't really think they're revivals. To me, anyhow, we won't go into that, but we won't split hairs here. What it is Jesus calling his people to salvation. He's calling his people to himself. You can call it whatever you want, but that's why he came, to give his life, to die, to save the lost so that they would have eternal life with him. That's why he came. We can call it whatever we want, but what it is the mission of Jesus that's being realized on the earth right now. People are getting saved. They're getting baptized. They're getting born again. They're getting filled with the Spirit. They're having an encounter of God that is transforming their life, which is their seed to leave a legacy for the people that are going in front of, ahead of them. Okay, Ezra 1. That's just the whole gospel right there. Jesus has come to save the lost. And our job is to help them encounter the ones he's calling to himself. Jesus says no one can come to him except through the Father. He calls people unto himself. And there are people who are being called that just need a GPS, us. They need us to be their GPS to help them to connect, to help them engage. They need that help to realize what's happening to them. You know, I don't know if sometimes when you first encounter Jesus, you don't even know what's going on. You just know that there's God touching you. You don't even know what to do with it. That's the reason it says go out. We got to disciple the nations. But the nations aren't big plots of land. They're people who have encountered Jesus and need discipling. Okay. Ezra 1. It says, Now the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in the first year, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is among you all his people May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in, Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God. He is God. God is calling us to build his house. God is calling us to build his house. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings from the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. So when I've been reading through this for a little while, been kind of praying and meditating on it. The Lord was showing me a couple of things. First of all, he's calling us to build his house. And that is nothing new. He's been calling people, build my house. But what he was showing me, that we're going to see a change in the hearts of the kings. When what I'm saying is leadership, people in high positions, toward the heart of God. Where they are making way for the people of God to do what God has called them to do. And right now we know there is opposition against us. But God is turning the hearts of the opposition toward us. And we will see as we go through Ezra. I won't read all of Ezra. You guys are lucky today. Nine chapters or so. But as we'll see that, you know, there will be people in high positions that will have a heart for God, whether they believe or know God, that will go toward the people of God, that will make way for us to do things that we didn't even think we'd be able to do. You know, our minds say, oh, like Pastor Jean shared, oh, nobody's going to want prayer. Nobody wants to hear this, which is actually the opposite of what God is showing us. People are starving to be fed from the nourishment of the Lord that only he can do. Only he can do. So I believe that we're going to see a change of hearts in high places that are going to be changed toward the Lord. And that from that, we're going to see this generosity, monetary possessions, offerings that will be shifted in our direction. And God is teaching us to be good stewards of those things. But, we need to understand that all the finances belong to God. And he can change a person's heart to write a check for $10 as easy as he can change a person's heart to write a check for $1 million. God does not need decimal points and dollar signs to be able to fund what he is doing. And when we get that in our mind that, yes, Lord, this may cost us $4 million or that may cost us $20 million. I know Bethel is building a building that's going to cost $97 million. Is that what it is? $97 million. And they're paying cash for it. They've already raised $47 million. So understand, God has plenty of money. He knows how to turn the head of a people where their generosity becomes beyond what they can even understand. And there are actually people looking to fund these type of things. So we just need to understand and declare that God not only has given us the ability to create wealth, he's also given people the hearts to join our wealth for the kingdom advancement in order to fulfill what he needs to do. Finances talked about through the Bible so much. You know, God knew that there was going to be financial need and a monetary system. And so he taught us how to cooperate with him in order to get every bit of funding that we need to accomplish what he had planned. You know, he's not telling you go out and do this and you figure it out. Right. He just doesn't work that way. He's telling us, this is what I've called you to do and I've got the funding for it. So just walk in faith and know that as you go, you will have what you need. So people gave financially. And what was interesting, and I don't have the scripture written down here, but the other thing is not only did they give in all different ways, but they made sure every worker was taken care of. Every worker was funded and taken care of, that they had what they need. And that's what we have to remember too. You know, everybody needs to be funded in the mission that they're called to. So let's go to Ezra 3:10. Uh, It says, when the builders laid the foundation, so they're starting to the restoration of the temple, of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with the trumpets, and the Levites and the son of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsive praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. You know, worship is being restored. Worship is being restored, not only in the house of the Lord, but in the hearts of his people. And there is a huge move of worship happening right now where people have the freedom not only to worship, but to prophetically worship, to have spontaneous worship, to have this reply worship to him, that as we begin to worship, there is this reply that is rising up in us where all we can do is declare his name, declare who he is. Even that song that we sang, you know, Holy Counselor, you know, just people, these are the songs that are coming out. And if you'll start listening to the songs, you'll see that there's such a restoring of the exaltation of Jesus. There's a restoring of worship right now. And that's what they were doing. They were restoring worship back. And then verse 12, it says, but many of the priests and Levites and heads of the father's houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. The reason they did is because they knew what the former temple looked like, and they couldn't accept the new thing that God was doing. There's a new wine with a new container that was happening here. And all they knew was Solomon's temple. And it didn't compare to Solomon's temple. And sometimes when we get caught in comparison, we can't see the glory of the Lord moving because we're caught in the behind instead of in the future. And we can't leave a legacy when we're trying to carry the old with us and not allowing God to move us into the new. There's new things. I mean, we're seeing it. We're seeing new things. We're seeing God do things. And we're like, we don't understand. We don't understand why we want to jump up and down. We don't understand why we want to scream and run around. We don't understand. 10 years ago, I would have never done that. How many say that are up here jumping up and down, screaming and running around? I mean, you know, God is causing us where when he touches us, we cannot contain ourselves. When there's true worship coming out of our hearts, we don't know what to do. Do we scream? Do we yell? Do we lay on the floor? Do we do cartwheels? Do we cry? What do we do, God? Because you are so present that I can't contain the skin on my bones. I just want to come out of myself because I don't know what else to do. Have you ever felt like, you know, I just don't know what to do. Do I kneel? Do I jump up and down? Do I stand on the... I don't know what to do. All I know is your presence is so tangible. I got to do something in response to you being here. I've got to do something. I've got to show you that I know you and that when you touch me, there is a response from my heart. I have to show you. That's what God is doing. He is inhabiting the praises of his people. And not only, because that's what his word says, but not only is he inhabiting it, he's causing us to come out of our shells, come out of our boxes, come out of our conformity, and be willing to be transformed by the living God who has met us where we are. He's met us where we are. He's met us where we are so that he can take us where we need to go.
Like David.
I didn't see naked people, but can you feel it? Can you sense it? That there is something happening that is so profound for us. It's so profound, and it's so new, and it's so tangible, and it's you really can't put words on it. I mean, you lay on the scriptures because it's the closest you can get to understand what he's doing. So we've got to let go of what we thought, or let go of last year's manna, so we can eat what is fresh today. So we can be that new wine for him, that new container for him, so that even in our inhibitions, you know, God is just saying, I love your response to me. I love that you're willing to respond to me. And we're like, God, we can't do anything else. We have to. We have to respond. Whew. God's going to make us cry today. And we know that there will be resistance. There's no doubt. I'm going to read out of Ezra 4, 4 through 5. We know that there will be resistance. I can't really see it because my eyes are watering. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. That's what they want. They want us to be discouraged. They want us to be pulled away from our eyes being locked on Jesus, just locked on him. They want us to be pulled away. They want to discourage us. They want to send trouble our way. They want to give us counsel that is against the counsel of the Lord, that it's against the word of the Lord. But it sounds reasonable. It sounds like maybe I need to listen. Maybe I need to stop. Maybe I need to think. But it goes on to talk about that, how God sent the prophets in chapter 5 to encourage the people to prophesy into the building. God is sending his word to keep us encouraged, to break off the enemy's attack, those subtle voices that try to lure us away. God is sending his word in order to help us jump over the roadblocks that's been set in front of us. We've got to get over those roadblocks. We got to, I was telling Pastor Karen Jean that I had a nightmare last night. And I kept on having this dream about this sociopath trying to kill me. And I'm like, great. I would actually like to sleep. It kept waking me up, and then I go back to sleep, and I go back into it. And finally, I woke up, and I said, I just bind you in the name of Jesus, and I send you away because I need a whole night's sleep tonight. But, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you think, oh, well, you know, it's just a dream. But what happens, it disrupts your sleep, which doesn't give you the same preparation. So, God, you just got to restore and refresh me for today, because my 8 or 9 hours of sleep fell a little short. People are like, 8 or 9 hours. Yeah. I like a solid. But, you know, we just have to recognize that sometimes we just have to take authority of what's coming against us, what's trying to distract us, what's trying to steal our sleep, our health, our mental stability, what is trying to steal it. And we may not know, but we can bind up whatever's coming against us and send it to Jesus and receive the refreshment, the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. We take the word, we read it. Even Pastor Jean's word this morning, that was a fresh word. It was a fresh manna for us this morning. I'll have it posted up on our website, or maybe I'll email it to you. Maybe I'd like for me to email it to you, because I thought it was a good word for us to pray in too. The other thing is, we're going to see in Ezra, like I said, I'm not going to read all of Ezra, but people started coming back. People who had turned away came back. People were coming back to the temple, back to the house of the Lord. And that's what we were talking about earlier, the testimonies earlier. People are coming to the house of the Lord. People who have, we've had several words about the prodigals coming back. The prodigals are running in. They have seen enough of the world to know that that's not the place they want to spend their life. They're coming back into the house of the Lord. And we're welcoming them in wherever they are, in whatever state they're in, because they're going to encounter God with us. They're going to see the beauty and the holiness of Jesus over their lives and see the restoration for their hope and their future, right? And the enemy will be defeated. The enemy will be defeated. and the honor of the Lord will continue to come out of our mouth. My favorite scripture right now, and I just keep saying it, and I've been putting my name in there, and I want you guys to start putting your name. You know, we talked about putting our name in the scriptures. Let the scriptures personalize, come alive inside of us. We talked about that last week. I hope some of you practice. I practice. But Ezra 7:10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and do it." So I want you to put your names in there. Cindy prepared her heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. God wants us to prepare our heart to seek the Lord, to seek his word, and to do it. Seeking without doing, we talked about that last week, it just doesn't work, because he will keep us in perfect peace. He will keep us in perfect harmony with him. Isaiah 26 says that the Lord will keep us in perfect peace. That's where we can stay. We know that we can stay in perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. So the Lord's has guaranteed us perfect peace. He said that he will keep us in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on him. Because we trust in everything that he has for us. So when we think about our legacy, everything we do pours in to the legacy we're leaving for the hundreds and thousands of years to come till Jesus comes back. Right? It's going to be funny to think about, because I started to think about this when someone had mentioned something to me about a 100-year vision a while back, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. I don't know, about 5 years ago. And I started thinking about, what does 100 years look like? I mean, what does 2124 look like? And not in the so much the technical sense of what, you know, what will the world be like, but what does it look like for the people of God? For the movement of God that's happening on the earth? For what we have sown in 2024 that will be part of the reaping in 2124. I mean, that's a big thought. That's a big thought, isn't it? Yeah. I just thought that was so cool to kind of think about that. I'm really about done. I think I'm about done. But there is we're going to do some prayer in just a minute. I want us to have some time to pray for healing. The Lord kind of gave me a thought on that this morning, and I want us to have time to pray for people. You know, it is the presence of God that brings healing. He's given us the authority to lay hands on each other and to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out demons. But I just have felt like there's some people that needed healing this morning. So I wanted to have some time to pray over healing. But before we do, I'm going to read one other scripture. Then we'll just close and invite people up who want healing. And we've got a healing team that's going to come up and pray for people. I want to read out of Ephesians 4. Let me find which scripture I wanted. I don't think I wrote it down. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Ephesians 5:1. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So if you'll stand, I'm just going to kind of read this and impart this over us as we close. And "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." Yeah. Jesus, we just thank you that we are one with you. And that you're teaching us to be as you are, to be lovers of God and lovers of people. To walk in kindness, to walk in humility, to walk in authority, to walk in power, to be able to transform, completely change every demonic force around us, yeah, and bring the peace that you have guaranteed us. Yeah. Even in Solomon, it said that there was peace on every side. And there was so much wealth that silver and gold laid on the streets. So, Lord, just give us a vision of that, where we bring peace on every side. That when we enter a place, that the demonic actually tremble, yeah, at our footsteps. And we release the kingdom where there's a taking of that territory for you, Jesus. Bring us the hearts of people who are ready to be transformed by an encounter, Lord. And we will do what you've called us to do. Just like Ezra, we've prepared our hearts with the word of God to follow you, to do what you've called us to do, and to transform this earth like it is in heaven. And we just bless and honor you this morning, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you are encouraged. If you would like more content like this, please visit cindy-stewart.com. We'll see you next time.